2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dujanovic.
Here's a headline I just fell in love with from the Washington Examiner. Let the babies have their milk and drink it too. We're going to talk about some formula. You remember, formula, there was a shortage. Supply chain hit the craziest stuff. Stuff that we never think about.
Right.
Toilet paper, baby formula. It just pops up and you realize this is not just a given. That this stuff doesn't just magically show up mm-hmm. on our shelves.
And it takes sometimes some really crazy routes to get there, right? I mean, the complexity blew my mind when we started looking at why we're not seeing things on the shelf.
Senator Mike Lee and a bipartisan group of lawmakers have introduced the Formula 3.0 Act, which will permanently get rid of tariffs on many European formulas and made it easier for parents to buy those products. If you remember, when we were having that formula shortage, we were having a hard time accepting, I guess. We thought only our formula is good for our babies.
That's right.
The rest of the world, what you're using is so inferior.
Not good enough. And now it is. And, you know, I got to give Mike Lee some credit. He has stayed on this issue for a while now and has really led on putting away these tariffs. It's an interesting question, too, because I wonder if, Dave, to your point of accepting other people's, like, this is a question of FDA. This is a question of standards for dairy and all other products. But this really opens it up, particularly to our friends in Europe.
Joining us right now is Kelly Pierce, used to work here at KSL, was a producer, is now a digital media associate for the R Street Institute. Kelly, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I don't know how you became the de facto formula person in America, but I'll be honest, you are. You are the go-to.
I don't know about that. I think there's a lot of people that have been speaking up through this crisis, but I think it's really important to talk about the need for a better supply of formula, because I don't know about you, but I've been in supermarkets. I was there a couple of days ago, and the shelves of formula, they're still not completely stocked. So something needs to be done, and it needs to change.
I agree. I mean, we're in a family where there's a standing order whenever we go to Costco. If there's formula, we are to buy it and bring it to the middle son. So start with the basics. Walk us through the basics of the Formula 3.0 Act. What is that?
So basically what it would do is, as you said, get rid of tariffs. And it's a kind of a long, complicated process. But what those tariffs essentially do is make it extremely difficult for a lot of European manufactured formulas to have shelf space in the United States, to be legally sold in the United States. What this law would do is permanently get rid of those tariffs so more of those types of European formula can be on our shelves. These were the formulas, you'll remember, when we had the major shortage, was actually flown into the United States to shore up our supply.
What were some of the concerns about formulas coming from outside that weren't manufactured here in the United States? What were some of those concerns?
So there's a couple of different concerns here. One of them is the amount of iron. So there's a disagreement between a lot of scientists in the United States and in Europe about the proper amount of iron for. So iron is needed for your baby's growing brain. However, The Europeans like to have a little bit less of it. It is a lot less constipating. There are babies who deal with gastrointestinal issues that really actually prefer it because it's a lot easier. So there's a disagreement there in terms of, you know, will a lower amount of iron be detrimental to certain babies? But, you know, you kind of look around in Europe and there's millions of babies using it and they're perfectly fine. The other issue is just kind of political. You have, you know, pharmaceutical companies in the United States who make the majority of our formulas. They don't want competition. That makes tons of sense. You also have dairy lobbying against it because they think it's going to be hurting their farmers. And I want to be very clear about this. This isn't average farmers because dairy farming is a very tough industry right now. But lobbyists want to have a market only for American formulas.
So is this, with this bill, is there still a shortage happening? Is this solving a current problem or is this more insurance for the future?
So it is a couple of different things in our view. So it would help with, as we were talking about, shoring up some of the formula supply, right? Because as I said, when I was going into the supermarket a couple of days ago, the shelves weren't completely stocked. So it would actually shore up that supply, make sure that parents have formula. But there's also issues for families like mine, which my son was born with severe heartburn. And the American formulas, they were making that condition worse. They also made it so he couldn't be diagnosed for a couple of months. European formulas have a little bit more options and flexibility there. So kids with medical issues tolerate it. European formula a lot better than American ones.
You mentioned that this is a bipartisan group of lawmakers that have signed on to this. What's the appetite for this getting all the way through?
You know, I can't predict the future, but I will say this. It's amazing how quickly thinking on this has really changed because of people speaking up, because of what happened, because it used to be, no, we're not even going to have this discussion. Now, even though there was a thriving black market for European formula, now people are starting to rethink things and go, you know, maybe we should have some flexibility in our supply. After all, you know, a lot of pediatricians stateside have no issue with their patients using European formulas, whether it's for medical conditions like my son or just because they support parental choice in this area. So I think there's a little bit more of an openness and a willingness to at least consider this, if not pass it.
The formula shortage started, I believe, back in 2021, and then even into 2022, early into the 2022 year, I think it was Abbott Nutrition had to recall some products because there was it a bacteria or something like this? Are they still recovering from these shortages?
So they say that, you know, everything is getting online, but there's been a few bumps in the road, right? The major one obviously was Abbott because they had that complaint, which, by the way, the government did not act on in a timely manner. So that facility was running while an active, serious complaint was lodged against it. And then, of course, when it closed, there was a huge supply shock. But there was also, I believe it was Gerber, too, that had an issue with their plant. So there was a little mini supply shortage going on in 2022. And I can remember, too, a coworker of mine, her little 3-month-old nephew, we were trying to find formula for him, people across the country, and we couldn't do it. You know, finally we found a substitute for him. So there's all of these little supply shocks that happen. And again, it's because our formula market is very closed off and it doesn't allow for flexibility as well. I mean, you look at European formulas, just even how they're formulated, you can have different types of options where you can take out certain allergens or stomach irritants. We need to do that here in the United States.
Kelly Pierce, thank you for joining us, a digital media associate for R Street Institute, a former journalist here at KSL. Thank you for joining us. And Mara, I look at this and I was shocked. I had no idea how few people manufactured formula in America.
Right. And so if anything went wrong, as you suggested, with just one plant, it wiped out the supply.
It did. It devastated. And they were loading formula up onto C-130s and flying them across the ocean to help relieve. And it was a wild, and we forgot about it. I'll be honest, I completely forgot about it. But Senator Mike Lee has been sticking with it, trying to get this Formula 3.0 Act passed, has some support from other from both the right and the left. We'll see if it continues making its way. Up next, the Bible. The Bible, the Davis School District is pulling the Bible from elementary and junior high schools. They get to leave them there in the high schools because there were complaints that it contained graphic content. So the Bible got yanked from elementary and junior high schools. We'll discuss, is that the right move? Or was this just one of those protest complaints that someone had? Like, do you really have a problem with the Bible?
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.